Hey, everybody, I'm Christy Titus. It's good to be on the show.
This is Remy Warren.
This is John Stallone.
This is Joel Turner.
This is Lonnie Craighead.
And you are listening to Archery Maniacs.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And now, a brief word from our sponsors. Do you want to turn that trophy hunting photo into a vinyl decal? Head on over to www.mytrophyvinyl.com and turn your memory into a vinyl decal that lasts. TAP, short for Titanium Archery Products. The hunting stabilizer that holds like a target stabilizer and dampens and quiets your bow like none other. The suppressor from Titanium Archery Products sets the standard for high-end performance hunting stabilizers. Check out www.titaniumarcheryproducts.com to get your suppressor today and follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Do you need your bow tuned up? Or anything archery related, check out Sand Springs Archery of Craig, Colorado, 970-756-9315.
Hey, it's time for your free gift.
That's right, he said free. Are you about to head on the hunt of a lifetime, but have no idea what to have in your pack? Well, the 58-point gear list and the 4 to 12-day extended hunt nutrition list is exactly what you're looking for. It will show you what hardcore hunters have in their pack to help them be successful as possible. Head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com and grab your free list today so that you can have success on your next hunt.
Now,
let's get into the show. Here we are in episode 6 with Remy Warren. He has been hunting his entire life and is passionate about sharing his knowledge and adventures with others. From a very young age, he took to the mountains, learning the land and the animals in it. He consistently pushes himself in the field to be the best he could and learned a lot of good lessons along the way, often through trial and error. After high school, he made his living in various aspects of the outdoor industry, working as a hunting guide, outfitter, outdoor writer, photographer, videographer, and TV personality. At the age of 22, he opened Mountain Out West Outfitters in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, specializing in elk and deer hunts on public land. Later, he expanded his operations by booking hunts in New Zealand and Africa. Aside from guiding, he is also the host of a new television series called Apex Predator, airing on the Outdoor Channel. On this show, he studies the uniqueness of a single animal. Through a series of experiments, he learns how he can adapt that animal's techniques. He then trains and goes into the wild, attempting to replicate what the natural world has taught him. He is also the co-host of Solo Hunters on the Outdoor Channel. The concept of the show, he goes into the mountains and films his hunts alone. This has been a challenge that he loves, playing the role of hunter, cameraman, producer, and adventurer simultaneously. When not guiding or filming, he works as a field editor for both Western Hunter Magazine and Elk Hunter Magazine, sharing hunting tips and tricks he has learned along the way. In this episode, Remy and I cover solo filming tips for your hunt, landing your dream job in the outdoors, how he got started as a guide, and systematizing your hunting season. To learn more about Remy, check out the show notes. I've linked to Remy Warren himself on YouTube, Solo Hunter on YouTube, Apex Predator on YouTube, his personal website, his Instagram, as well as his Facebook accounts. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Remy Warren.
Hey, and this is your host, Zach Harold.
And you're listening to Archery Maniacs.
Ah, perfect. Well, first off, Remy, I just want to say thanks so much for being on the show with us. In my opinion, you're an icon within the industry and really, really stand out in my mind as somebody that is a solo backpack country hunter. And I really respect that because I do that kind of hunting as well. So it's kind of your busy time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like, the season pretty much kicks off for me here, starting in August, and I kind of just have a full docket, pretty much until sometimes all the way through January. But you know, I like right now I'm kind of planning out my next 3 to 4 months, and it, you know, it's a long time on the road in the mountains, whatever. So yeah, it's kicking off for me right now. This is about the only free time that I'll have probably now until around Christmas time, it seems like.
Dang. Well, I'm glad we were able to catch you.
Yeah, thanks.
So when you're planning that many hunts in a row, I mean, obviously you can't come back for 2 weeks and lounge around the house and recharge and pack all your other equipment. So what kind of system do you have in place in order to be able to go hunt after hunt after hunt?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I kind of, like, I've developed a system that just involves a bunch of boxes, and then I really don't change my, I call them, like, whatever I'm packing, my kit. Like, I don't really change my kit too often from hunt to hunt, you know. I kind of have, like, a basic, this is what I take. And all that really changes might be like an added layer of, you know, warmth. But generally, I kind of bring everything on, or I kind of prepare everything for the whole season right up front. I've gotten used to, now at this point, it almost feels like I'm winging it, but I still sit down like I have always done, write out what I need, my list for this hunt, that hunt, whatever, and then go from there. So I've kind of over the years really thinned out my list of what I actually need. But for the most part, you know, I try to stick to the basics, and then I kind of add the creature comfort in after that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, now, yeah, no, I agree. I find myself wandering around aimlessly if I don't look at some sort of list or write everything down. It seems like I go from the shed to the house to the closet way more times than I need to if I don't write it all down.
Oh, yeah. And I extremely loathe packing, and it's because it just seemed like for the longest time I can remember, you know, through guiding and other things, I mean, I pack up my stuff, and I'm not just packing for a one-week hunt. I'm used to packing for 2-3 month hunts. So it's just that the whole process just got – I just get sick of it. So I kind of pretty much keep my bags ready to, I kind of like ready to roll all the time. And then that way I have essentially all my essentials there. But then there's like so many varied hunts that I'll go on. So I'll go from Nevada desert high country hunting this month to straight into Alaska. And on that, I've got to kind of plan for not only myself, but going in with multiple people and food and tents and all that. So there's a lot of logistical stuff involved with that. So I really just start out sitting down, like, what do I need? How much am I going to need? Who's going? What kind of gear do they have? What kind of gear do I have? And then build a list from there. I've just got, you know, write it all out on, literally right now I'm staring at 5 different lists of everything that I need for this place, that place. And I kind of just start building it into a box or a bag of what I'm going to take. And
wow.
Go from there.
Now, as far as food goes, when you were going like into the backcountry, you basically like packed the bare minimum, or is food something you're willing to kind of make as an exception because you know that when you get up in the mountains, if you're deprived of nutrition, you're not going to hunt at your best. Which view do you kind of take?
My scenario is probably a little bit different than most because I have, like, if I'm going on a hunt, I'm carrying all my camera gear. So I'm way overloaded to begin with, and most of my weight is in camera equipment, tripods. So I do the Solo Hunters TV show. Plus, I really enjoy filming. Even if I'm not doing it for that, I'll carry all my still camera stuff. So I'm overloaded in what I like to call, like, just unnecessary items, but it's something that I enjoy. So I, in the past, like, have really skimped on food, and I've really felt the effects of it in a lot of different situations that have just been, you know, I'm getting to the point now where I'm kind of getting sick of feeling those effects, so I'm kind of reverting back to bringing more food. But I try to plan it out based on calories, how much I think I'll need, and then, you know, I take, like, stuff that's lightweight too that'll help me in lieu of food, you know, like energy drink mix. I mean, I've been a proponent of like wilderness athlete type energy drinks,
okay,
stuff like that I know, you know, because it's lightweight, you can mix it with water and it just keeps me going when I'm already calorie deficient, because anytime that you're going, or at least in my experience, if you're, like, backpacking in somewhere, you're going to be calorie deficient. It's
always
almost impossible. Like, you're going to be burning, I mean, you can burn as many 6,000 calories probably in a day, but, you know, on average, maybe 4 to 5, and you're probably carrying 2 to 2,500. I mean, if you can get 3,000 calories in, that's awesome. But, you know, there's things like essential things like vitamins and salts and things that you need to just literally keep your brain working. But there's been times where I've been out, the hunt's been hard, and I've gone, you know, probably on 500 calories a day and burning 6,000, it seems like. So there's those times where I've just been super energy deficient, and you just feel it, like it's not fun. you're literally eating your body. But, you know, in the long run, I would say I try now to just, I'm just, like, kind of sick of that scenario. So I've been, you know, bringing more food, and if I've got camera gear or whatever, then I may bring more food but stay a day shorter and then go back in and more in and outs if I have to, set up a base camp and go in and out and do it that way. But for the average guy, you know, you can generally bring a little bit more food because you don't have all that extra weight of all the other what I call crap. Like, on some hunts, literally on some hunts, I'll have 2 tripods and 3 cameras. So that's, I mean, I might be going in with a 70-plus pound pack, you know, and 30 pounds of it, camera gear.
Almost to the point where you get in and you're like, man, I'd really like to shoot something, but my pack weighs enough already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just ordered all my camera gear. It's supposed to be here next week, so I'll be feeling the load of the crap as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
oh, cool.
But it makes it, for me, it makes it part of it. So, but, you know, if I was just to go out and have no camera gear, nothing like that. You know, I mean, I literally used to cut the handle off my toothbrush and everything. I mean, I would, you know, find the lightest possible gear and kind of combine meals into one, you know, vac bag and all that stuff. And then I just got to a point where my pack was so heavy anyway, so I was like, I'll just cram it in. Just don't even care anymore. So I don't really suggest that. Like, you know, you can, if you plan it out and, you know, count the calories and then find stuff that that just helps with calories. One of my good friends is a nutritionist, and he's really helped me out probably more than anyone on just figuring out little tricks to adding more calories, you know, little things like bringing a little bit of oil to add to, like olive oil to add to a mountain house, or little things like that that just kind of boost the amount of calories. And I try to just find calorie-dense foods that are still good for you, you know, or
uh-huh.
Good for you. And then also just not being afraid to throw in just some amount of junk-type food that I wouldn't eat any other kind, but it's just got calories and energy that I can use.
Yeah, exactly. And now when you start packing, you know, you talked about packing for colder weather and things like that. When it comes to that, do you basically pack for the worst possible scenarios, or do you pack thinking like, yeah, this should be warm enough, and if this happens, I guess we'll just light a fire or do jumping jacks or something, walk up to the top of the mountain?
I found ways to like stay warm. I mean, generally, like I'll have, if I know it could be cold, then I do like a real warm base layer. I use like a Under Armour 3.0 base layer. That's like, I'm sure they've got heavier ones than that, but I mean, I've been in 0 degrees and feel fine. I like synthetic stuff. A lot of guys are more on the wool side. I've always been more on the synthetic side.
Okay.
That's just personal preference. That's what I've used for a long time, because when I first started out hunting, before anybody ever made any mountain hunting gear, I just wore like pretty much all climbing expedition stuff. And now like companies are making that for hunting, which is awesome. I'll do like a base layer, you know, my standard pants, I go on the thin side. I don't like to overheat. So, you know, my standard pants are pretty thin, but they block out wind and rain and whatever. And then I'll throw rain gear in, because if it's like gets real cold, and like cutting down and keeping your body heat in, rain gear is pretty good insulator. So I use that. And that's generally it. And then like a jacket, shirt, and then rain gear. And I can pretty much go most any temperature where you're hiking and hunting. It's fine.
Gotcha. Cool. That's a pretty good tip, really. People throwing in like sweatshirts and extra stuff that they think that they need, and they really just took up room in their pack. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no. I've been on so many hunts where it's like I haven't. So like I'll throw in that extra whatever layer and just never use it. But then there's been times where I've been like really cold and thinking this isn't any fun. If it's real cold, like I go in with to make sure that I have double jacket. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Real cold, like zero with wind chill or so.
Yeah, for sure.
That's no fun.
So now on the solo hunting side and the solo videoing side, and you can really say what your thoughts are. I feel that it's on the rise. You know, I think taking lots of photos and videoing yourself or trying to video your buddies, I think that's really on the rise right now. But it's a lot harder than it looks. Like we were just discussing, I think that you and Tim make it look a lot easier than it really is. But, you know, seriously, I mean, I've done a little bit of it, and I was belly crawling through 10-inch tall grass, and I was like, man, I'm ditching the camera. It's just going to have to stay behind. I hope I'm in frame when I shoot. So, Do you have any type of tips or anything like that for the new videoer that's wanting to video themselves?
Oh yeah, definitely. A lot of it's all been trial and error, and so I've learned things that work and things that don't work. My goal has always been, if I can make it look easy, then I've done a good job. You know, because I remember just starting out how hard it was, and I just really like. For me, it was just time doing it. I mean, it's like anything. You practice shooting your bow, and otherwise you aren't good with it. Same with the filming. So I kind of take the approach, like, if you want to film something and you want it to turn out all right, you have to commit to it, because a lot of people, like, want to do it but just don't want to commit to it, and they're like, well, this is really hard. But it's not as hard as it would be is if you don't, like, if you aren't committing to it, I guess. So it's really hard when you don't 100% commit to it. It's still difficult, but you'll get more stuff when you decide, like, hey, this is what I want to do. So I kind of just, like, go out with a goal of it's either going to be the goal of filming, and when you have that mindset of this is what I want to do, then I guess it gets a little easier. Maybe because when you come back, you go, okay, well, I got more stuff, and it just turns out better. But my number one tip is, like, if you are wanting to film yourself or friends or whatever, it's not necessarily the camera that you use, but the availability of your camera out in proximity to being able to grab it and use it. So if you've got a camera that you don't want to carry around on outside of your backpack, then get rid of that camera. Get something that you don't mind slinging around your neck and having out all the time. Because I've noticed, like, if I've got a camera in my backpack, it doesn't get used. So all day, every day, I've got my camera around my shoulder, like, strapped outside, whether it's bad weather or whatever. If I'm planning on filming, my camera's out. And that right there, that one tip has, like, changed my world in, as far as filming goes, because then I'm easily able to get it out. I'm using it all the time. I'm getting more practice with it, even just practice carrying it around. So, like, when I'm hiking, my camera's on the tripod, and I'm carrying it in my hand all day. And because of that, like, I got better at maneuvering, being quiet with it, not just during the stock, because if you're only going to use it during the stock, then you're just going to be out of practice. And so really it just comes down to practice and time in the field with it. And that's and like having your camera out and ready to go when stuff happens. And you just get a lot better stuff for yourself. I just started out filming just for personal use. Just film stuff, make a video for my dad for Christmas or whatever of our hunts or clients' hunts or whatever. And everything got a lot better when I just decided I'm not keeping my camera in my pack anymore. And that's really helped.
Cool. And that's an awesome tip. It's so funny that you brought that up, because as soon as you said it, I was thinking of numerous times when I had a better camera in my bag, and here I am taking all these crappy phones with a picture with my phone.
Yeah.
I don't want to reach up there and grab it. So that's an awesome tip. You were talking about you have it on the tripod in any weather. So when it's like raining or snowing, do you just cover it in your rain jacket, or what do you do with it there?
Yeah, generally I've got like a little neoprene case. It was like $10 at some online store. You know, it's like a little neoprene camera case.
Oh, cool.
That I put on it. I mean, if it's like really bad and I know it's such bad weather, I'm not even going to be filming. Like my camera will break, then I will put it away. But when I put it away, I'm pretty much in the mindset that filming time's over.
Yeah.
You know, so there are times where it goes in, but I always put it in like to the top pocket of my backpack where it's easy to get to, or and then keep some kind of camera in my pocket, like a GoPro or something else. So like, you know, in your pocket, just easily accessible. But a camera that's buried in your backpack is pretty much as good as left at home. It's like I remember when I really started getting into filming after high school, I saved up for a couple years to buy a good camera. And cause like when I was in high school, I also took college classes for video broadcast technologies or whatever. So I was like, okay, I'm really into this. I want to get a good camera. And I saved up for years and then bought the camera and literally never used it. Like afraid to get it dirty or something. I don't know. And then I just like, forget it. Why own something that I'm not going to use? And so I started, you know, wearing it on the outside and having it more easily accessible, and it never broke, and I got a lot better footage from it. So
awesome.
That was,
cool.
That was key.
Yeah, well, that's definitely some awesome tips. It's great, great stuff. Especially I really like the one we were talking about, keeping it always on the tripod and walking with it, you know, because then you get used to being quiet with it. Like, that's something that you wouldn't ever think of until you finally see a deer or an elk and you throw it back on the tripod and you run that tripod into every tree you walk by.
Oh, yeah. You become more self-aware and, like, figure out ways to stay quiet and maneuvering. Cause you know, most of the time, like, especially bow hunt, if you got a bow and a metal tripod in your hand, they will cling and clang at the worst times. So I figure out ways to, like, set the tripod up early or hold the bow. And then another thing is when I first started out, say with like bow hunting or rifle hunting bow filming and even rifle filming, anytime I'd practice with my bow, I would just bring my camera out there, like do a short stock setup, shoot the bow, and literally practice getting the camera set up and figure out which ways are the easiest. And I found, you know, like having my tripod set, if I'm going up a hill, like I'll have one leg set for the pitch of the hill, so and my hands inside, so it's semi-open, so the legs don't clink together. And I know that when I go to set up, it's already set up from 20 yards back, and as I move, I'm constantly changing things. So when things happen fast, I'm not really dallying with every possible knob on the tripod, especially with the, I mean, rifle hunting is a little bit different because you don't have to, you're further away and you've got more
yeah.
time. But archery hunting, self-filming is just so difficult, especially spot and stock. But, you know, just like I say, it's practice. Practice on stuff that's easier. If you're going to hunt in the blind for something like antelope, that's a real good one to start filming yourself. Like, and even then you'll find it's pretty difficult to get the shot. So, but it's a good place to practice because everything's controlled and you learn to like control your, almost your camera panic of, okay, and when to move the camera and when to put the lens. You'll learn little tricks like the sun on the lens and that scares animals and setting up the tripod scares animals. And there's times where you can't get it adjusted right and you would have had a shot, but you don't. And all that practice comes from committing to it because you learn more by your mistakes than you do if you either give up or it works out right away. So. Honestly, it is. The more practice I have, the better I'll get. And I've just found little tricks that work for me that may not work for other people, but work for me over the years. So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you say, practice when you're just like you're going to hunt. I mean, he's got a 3D course at home that's got uphill, downhill shots. Practice setting up the camera correctly and shooting those targets. That's a great idea. That's awesome. Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I mean, those are awesome. Got me thinking for when mine arrives next week. well, let's transition kind of into elk hunting. Everybody knows elk hunting is just about to come in full swing. I'm about ready to freak out because I got to get tagged this year and I just want to go. So, I'm excited. So you guys have quite a few hunters coming this year?
Yeah, I do. Mostly rifle season, because I'll actually be in Alaska for almost all the archery season, so I won't really be archery elk hunting as much this year. But yeah, I've got a pretty full season ahead of me of elk hunting. So.
Cool. Now, you know, like you said, and like I've heard a lot of the same question. A lot of people want to know how to get into the outdoor industry and start making a living, and a big namely one is becoming some type of deer guide or elk guide or something along those lines. And I know you have written some great articles about it, and I will link to that in the show notes. But if you'd like to cover a little bit about that here on the show, that would be awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a question that I get asked a lot is, you know, how do I become an elk guide or how do I do what you do? And I think if you ask probably 20 elk guides or 20 people in the quote-unquote hunting industry, I guess, you probably get 20 different answers. But, you know, I just did it the only way that I knew how. And so I'm willing to share that with people, and if that works, then awesome. But I think, like, a lot of times I get the question, because people know that I'm an outfitter and they want to know, like, oh, can I guide for you or how do I do that? And so kind of my initial thing is, like, if you want to get into guiding, the best way is to kind of figure out what you're qualified for. And I don't mean to exclude anyone. Like your dream to elk guide, then you'll figure it out, you know, and you'll take the necessary steps to become an elk guide. But it's just like any job in any business, you know. Nobody hires a carpenter that doesn't have carpentry experience. You have to start somewhere. You know, you have to, like, if you've never, you know, put a house together, I mean, sometimes it happens, but for the most part, like, you need to be qualified in that realm. So when I hire elk guides, it's guys that really know how to elk hunt. And generally in my area, it's guys that know how to hunt that area. Now, when I say, like, be qualified, there's all kinds of guiding jobs that have different specifications for skill sets needed. So just like you're building, you know, imagine building a resume, which kind of job do I want? Well, the job that I have the skills for. So if you're looking at, you know, you want to apply for a job as an elk guide in a backcountry hunt in Wyoming, well, what are the skills needed for that? Well, horse skills is probably toward the top of the list. Where knowing the area necessarily isn't at the top of the list, because the only people that will know that area are people that either A, outfit there or have happened to hunt there. But that's very rare because in those backcountry areas, you know, there's certain camps. So you're limited to range within horse range. You know, you don't need to know an entire unit. And there have been people in those camps that know that area, and they can pass that knowledge on. So as long as you have horse knowledge, general knowledge of elk hunting, then, you know, you're more qualified for that area, and you don't necessarily have to know that area. But now you talk to a guy that runs a public land hunt that, you know, like a day use where, you know, you would, in that particular instance, you know, you'll definitely have to know the area because you're competing against other resident hunters, possibly other guides, you know, pressure might be higher. And, you know, there's things like boundary lines, property lines, and also just knowing where the elk are may increase your success. So knowing that specific area is more important than having horse skills.
Exactly.
So you just kind of have to, you know, like the best place to start is, what are you good at? What's your bread and butter for hunting? What area do you know? And then look for a job in that area. I grew up in Nevada, but I started guiding in Montana. Like, how did you do that? Well, I, you know, spent my falls going to Montana and learning a specific area and then got a job in that area by knowing that area almost better than anyone else.
Exactly. You mean you didn't just, like, call up the first outfitter that you could find in the phone book and they gave you a job?
No, I actually got offered a job while I was out hunting because I kept being ahead of these guides, and they were like, hey, instead of working against us, why don't you work for us? And I said, yeah, sweet, sounds good. And that was actually my intention, was to just know an area as well as I could, better than anyone, in my opinion, you know, or with the mindset of, I want to know this area better than anyone else. And if I know this area better than anyone else, then they'd be ridiculous not to give me a job. And it works.
Exactly.
So, you know, for me, like, the way I see it is, like, hard work has always been my kind of focus on, if you want to get into hunting industry, guiding or whatever, if you're willing to work harder than anyone else and prove that you deserve that job, then you're going to be very valuable. And, you know, over the years, like, the guys that I worked for, I made them a lot of money because everybody I hunted with was successful. They rebooked and, you know, secured me a job, which eventually led to me being able to start my own business and it be successful as well. So, you know, I think, in my opinion, it's like, if you aren't willing to put in the hard work to make it happen, then it won't happen. Now, I mean, there's other guys that don't do it full time, and, you know, that works too. Like, you can kind of, you know, a week here, a week there, and there's all kinds of different guiding positions. But, you know, for me, it's what I wanted to do every day of the year. And so I just really put in the hard work, the long hours, and wasn't afraid to bust my back and go above and beyond to get recognized and to create a job for myself, really. So, I mean, the job you create for yourself is a job no one can take away. So that's kind of the way I always tell people is, if you want to guide in a certain area or a certain way, you know, gain the knowledge, the skills, the experience to make yourself extremely valuable, and you can make it happen. So I'm a hard work kind of guy. So if it's all about, you know, for me, the guy shows me hard work, or, you know, that's the way I did it, and I respect that, and I look for that. But, you know, there's every, like I said, you could talk to 20 people and they tell you 20 different things. That's just my story.
But I really like what you just said, because I think that if there's anything that you decide wholeheartedly that you want in life, if you're willing to put in that time to get there, you can have it. So that's awesome, and it definitely shows. You know, it shows that you work that hard through your success, through the videos and the photos that you do. So really, congratulations. You're doing an awesome job, for sure.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. You know, I mean, I think that, like, I really respect everybody that's out there, and, you know, I cruise around and watch different videos of different people and see pictures and other things, and, like, you know, those are the kind of things that I notice when somebody else is doing something, and I can tell that they're putting a lot of effort into it, and that, like, that catches my eye. I'm sure it catches a lot of other people's eye as well. And so, you know, I think that's the best way, is, like, you really have to go for it. And the other thing is, my thought was, you know, if it's something I want, I can't just half-ass it. I can't, you know, have another job and then hope that a guiding job comes along. Like, I just literally packed up my truck and was like, I'm going to make this happen. And if you give yourself no other options, then you're going to make it happen. And there's no way you can't make it happen.
Right.
You know, I think that's, like, a lot of people hold back in a lot of ways and have backup. I didn't have any backup plans.
This
is my plan, and I'm going to make it work. And if I don't make it work, then I'll starve or I'll have fun doing it. But either way, that's my plan.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the old saying goes, if you have a plan B, then plan A never works, right?
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Exactly. Well, thank you so much. Some of the tips that you gave were just, it kind of blew my mind, especially with my camera coming in next week. I cannot wait to put those into practice. So really, thank you for taking the time before your season just explodes. And hopefully, after December, when you slow down again, hopefully you'll come back on and we can discuss something else.
Yeah, definitely. Love to hear how your filming and stuff goes this season. I'm excited to check it out.
Maybe I'll just give you a call and be like, hey, this is what I'm having happen, and I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to happen that way. Do you have any advice?
That's good.
Well, perfect. Well, thanks again.
As long as you learn something, it'll be all right.
There you go.
Thank you for tuning in to the Archery Maniacs show. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. I would really appreciate it. Hopefully, you learned something that will help you be better tomorrow than you were today. Some other podcasts that you should definitely tune into are Get Bit Outdoors, Sharp Sticks, Gritty Bowman, Knock On Podcast, J. Scott Outdoors, Full Draw, Full Time, Wired to Hunt, Meat Eater, The Hunt Backcountry Podcast, Keep Hammering, and The Joe Rogan Experience. Now it's time for a word from our sponsors. My Trophy Vinyl. Do you have a trophy hunting photo you want to turn into an awesome vinyl decal? Need your logo transformed? Vehicle lettering. My Trophy Vinyl has you covered, and for an extremely great price. Head on over to www.mytrophyvinyl.com or call Steve at 207-808-0409. That number again is 207-808-0409 to order today. Bring your memories to life with a decal that lasts. That number again is 207-808-0409. Titanium Archery Products. A scientific mix of titanium and other high-end metals coupled with chemically engineered vibration dampening and shock absorbing compound makes the suppressor from Titanium Archery Products stand out as one of the steadiest, quietest, and most accurate hunting stabilizers on the market. Archers from around the globe continue to be amazed by the results they're seeing and feeling in their bows. If you demand the highest performance from your hunting bow, then check out www.titaniumarcheryproducts.com. We are high performance. Sand Springs Archery of Craig, Colorado is your one-stop shop for everything archery. Get your bow tuned up, order some new gear, Alan will have you covered. 970-756-9315. That number again is 970-756-9315. Check out Sand Springs Archery for all of your archery needs.
Hey, free gold! Don't forget about your free gift!
He's not kidding around. You better grab your free gift before you go. The 58-point gear list and 4 to 12-day extended hunt nutrition list is there to help you be more successful in the backcountry. Or you can go ahead and pick the 7 tips for getting your kids involved in the outdoors and finding the same love for the passions that you have. Head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com and grab your free gift today. We'll be right back. Once again, thanks so much for your time. Be looking for a new episode next week, because every Monday, we, Archery Maniacs, are going to be coming out with a brand new podcast. As always, shoot straight, keep ripping, and remember, live life at full draw.